Hey, that's a heck of a win, man. At home on Monday night after about 10 days off, man. Where you going? All right, what we talk about, right? What's the advantage? The team, right? That's the advantage. The team, the team, the team. I saw it tonight, man. I saw it with my own eyes right from the start. All three phases working together as one, man, right? Humility goes a long way right now.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Due respect to the Bills, the Commanders have scored on every drive in two straight games.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
And there was just a stat on them. Washington, the first team in the Super Bowl era to have back-to-back games with zero turnovers and zero punts.
Good for them. Monday night doubleheader.
So it's working there.
Bills win, Bengals lose. Sal Capaccio joins us on the Western Hotline on a Victory Tuesday. Victory Tuesday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll talk with Sal, take your calls. We'll talk with Chris Brown next segment. Sal, I mean, you've been around for a lot of party games. That was a party.
Huh. Reminded me a lot of the Patriots playoff game. It just was, everything went right. They couldn't be stopped, and the other team couldn't do anything against them. And it just was, you're right, a party. It was a party inside the stadium. It was all night from the get-go. Right after they converted the 4th-and-3, and then they score shortly after that, you're like, okay. And, you know, once you stop them on that next drive, okay, things are going right here, and then it just starts snowballing from there. But you're right, guys. It was what a great atmosphere last night. What a great time to be inside that stadium.
Bills do it on offense and on defense. Do you have a spot you want to start on, Sal? I mean, to me, you know, you're seeing a Joe Brady offense that three games in looks like it has a lot of answers. And let's be real about last night's game. You know, the one type of game they hadn't really played yet is a very pass-heavy script. And last night they did that. The matchup against Jacksonville, they like well enough. Allen finds a bunch of different receivers. They drop back, and they really go for the kill early in that game. It was reminiscent of the way the Bills played a couple years ago with Josh Allen, and he was on point. Everything they tried worked, and it was nice to see.
Yeah, so you guys know all week I've been saying, like, this is a very man-to-man heavy team, and if you're going to stay a man-to-man, Josh Allen can kill you with his legs, and he's going to find matchups. But that becomes a Joe Brady game. If it's a man-to-man, Joe Brady's got to find matchups, and he did. I mean, think about the first play of the game to James Cook. I mean, right away, bam, there's the matchup we like. I mean, he told you on that first play that they're going to figure out where the matchup is, and they've already prepared for knowing where the matchup is that they're going to attack and exploit. And that's what they did all night, 10 different receivers once again. And then sure enough, as soon as there's an opportunity for, hey, let's spread them out, and as soon as those backs are turned, Josh Allen takes off up the middle on a couple of design draw plays. There's just nothing you can do to stop it. And, I mean, we were debating on the broadcast even, like, do the Jags just go away from man-to-man? That's what they do. Eric was saying, like, how can you stay in it? And I agree. But I don't know if they could do anything different. That's what they do. It was the perfect recipe for how the Bills want to play. You're right. And I do think last night answered a lot of questions about the wide receivers being able to win in that situation. It's not necessarily getting separation down the field, although they did. Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman got separation down the field. Dalton Kincaid, that was a big one, obviously, when he had his corner route. Like, they have some guys who can do that, but it's about getting separation across the field as well, guys. It's about, you know, the field is not just 100 yards long. It's 53 1/3 yards wide. And if you're going to go man-to-man against the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen's a very smart quarterback, and they have very smart receivers and, what we're finding out, a very smart offensive coordinator to be able to figure out how to get those matchups.
And to me, Sal, like the yards after catch point, this team has been talking about it for basically 3 years, and Joe Brady has finally delivered it for them.
No doubt about it. You're right. I mean, they did not go over the top much last night. They did a couple of times. I mean, the one time they should have had the touchdown to James Cook, right? I mean, he should have caught that. That was a deep ball. That was a great pass. It was a great design. But guess what? They come right back and they score a touchdown. Anyway, I think that was the drive where Keon Coleman scored, if I remember correctly. But either way, maybe it was Khalil Shakir, actually. But you're right. They get the ball into the hands of receivers. You know, one thing that's like maybe Josh hasn't been great at in his career is giving those guys an opportunity to run after the catch because he's been such a downfield thrower. And because the design of the offense was, you know, more mid-range, deep, these guys come back to the ball, they catch it, they get out of bounds, they go down. It just hasn't lent itself to that. Well, now we're seeing the evolution of Josh Allen in that regard too, which is, all right, he's going to put it on a spot where it allows them to run. The stat I gave you yesterday, let's update that for a second, okay? Average yards after catch amongst all quarterbacks in the NFL. Josh Allen, number two behind only Tua. 8.93 for Tua, 7.24 for Josh Allen. That is number two in the league. So that is, of all the completions you make, the average yards after catch after those completions, Josh Allen, number two in the NFL.
We had the numbers on Shakir basically doubling what Cole Beasley's yards after catch used to be. That's part system, but also part that Shakir, I mean, Sal, it's not just that he's efficient now. It's not just that he gets open. It's that he's added a toughness. He's added a determination to his game that brings these yak plays.
It's a great point, no doubt about it. I mean, 14 targets, 14 catches, and how many of those are catches where he gets absolutely demolished after the play and he just gets right back up, or he fights for extra yards, right? I mean, he's doing a lot of the grunt work, a lot of the dirty work, and yet he's still coming up and making all these different plays. It's so funny, like, he's not a... If I said you know, who's the number one receiver, you don't think of him like that. But he has been. He is their number one receiver. He's the guy that Josh looks for the most. He's the guy that's been the most reliable, although they've all been pretty reliable. But he doesn't have the profile of a true number one receiver. So I don't know if you could put him in that category of what we traditionally think of a number one receiver. But that's what he is for the Buffalo Bills right now. He's their go-to guy. But even when that's not necessarily going, you don't have to give him 14 targets. He had 6 targets last night, and that was just fine because everybody else got involved. Everybody else ate, as they say, guys. It was just a spectacular night, and I know you said, where do you want to start? We're with the offense, but listen, Josh Allen is just so special. He played like the league MVP last night. That's what he did. He was the league MVP last night. He may be playing better football than anybody in the NFL right now. I think there's an absolute argument for that. He should be the league leader for MVP right now. I don't know what the odds are this morning. A couple of those plays, guys, I mean, the throw to Dalton Kincaid and then Dalton's catch, just amazing. But I want to talk about the one to Ty Johnson. It was right in front of me. People were sending me screenshots last night from the TV broadcast. Literally, I'm not kidding. My jaw was down. I was open going, oh my God, when he caught it. And they're like, oh my, like, look at you. Your jaw was dropped. I said, it was. I went up to Josh in the locker room. I said, Josh, like, you made my jaw drop on that throw. I can't believe it. You know, and he looked at me and he goes, yeah, I was feeling good on that one. Like, he just, like, kind of so just nonchalant, right? I'm like, yeah, I bet you were. Guys, I don't know how he fit that ball in that spot. It was unbelievable. He's running left and fading backward, basically.
It's almost like when he gets hot, it's like I'm thinking of like a jump, like a Steph Curry in the NBA. When he's hitting threes, that's when he decides, you know what?
Yes.
I think I could pull up from half court here. It almost feels like Allen's got a little of that, where if everything's working on the first few drives or in the first quarter or two, you might get him going, you know, I might be able to pull this one off just because I'm feeling it.
No doubt about it. And you know what helps a lot, Joe, is the offensive line giving him time, right? And they've done a really good job here. There were times where he had to scramble, no doubt. I don't know if you guys looked at the numbers. Obviously, you probably know they had 0 sacks. Do you know how many quarterback pressures, quarterback hurries Jags were credited with?
That was it. It was one.
One.
I was surprised to see this morning, Sal, from Next Gen Stats, that Spencer Brown is the only lineman in the league that has not allowed a pressure yet. And like he's just one of the five. But I'm seeing other teams in the AFC, including Jacksonville, that are constantly having trouble protecting their quarterbacks. And how many plays last night was Allen just in the pocket, able to stand back there for like 5 seconds?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's pick your poison again. Josh, if you're going to blitz him, he can kill you with that. And that's the other thing about this offense. Like, if you're going to blitz the Bills, they have a lot of guys who just become available very quickly because they are just really designed to be those types of players. Just get a couple yards, just grab it. Josh can hit you, no doubt. And if you're going to sit back there, look how many times he just waited. And then obviously look at the Dalton Kincaid touchdown. That was one of them. On the tackles on Spencer Brown, we did late last night We did an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, so people can go listen to that or watch it, Matt Bove and I. But Matt, he made a great observation and said he just thinks both these tackles, Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins, are playing at an incredibly high level right now. When you have that happening, I mean, that's a really great recipe.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. To the defense, Sal, there's a funny highlight going around of Trevor Lawrence spinning around with really no one near him. And it's indicative, I think, of what happened yesterday. This defense that the Bills had put together, even down a few of their most important players, the system is the system. And when they play a quarterback, they had him seeing ghosts. They had the Jacksonville Jaguars all out of sorts. And it's another stellar performance from the secondary, from the defensive line, up and down. Sean McDermott has himself another great defense.
I mean, so impressive, right? What they're able to do by plugging these guys in. And Bobby Babich, as a first-time defensive coordinator and play caller, just dialing up pressures at the exact right time. I mean, to get Jamarcus Ingram involved on that sack, right? I mean, how great was that? Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram coming together, Jamarcus getting the sack. First ever interception for DeMar Hamlin. And I'll just take a second to tell you guys how emotional it was in that stadium when he got that interception because, you know, and DeMar actually acknowledged, too, the fact of the irony of it being on a Monday night, right? Because of what happened with him in Cincinnati was on a Monday night, and then he gets his first interception on a Monday night. And I'm going to tell you, when he had the interception, he goes back 19 yards. He comes back towards the Bills sideline, and guys behind the bench, all of the fans on that side were doing the heart sign with their hands. And it was so emotional. It reminded me a lot of the kick return from Nyheim Hines afterwards, right? And it was just so cool to see and to have that moment and to see that moment with DeMar and his teammates down there. That was great. And how about DeMar Hamlin here still sitting here as the starting safety on a team that's one of the best defenses in the league after all the things that we all said about, oh, my God, you know, that could be a liability. Mm-hmm. And but here's what I said the last week or so. This new wave of defense, that's DeMar's game. Like, that's what he does. It's keep everything in front of you. You don't have to go be a hero back there. Just be solid, steady, and physical when you have to be, and that's his game. And then Javon Solomon gets his first career NFL sack. Joe Andreessen plays in his first career real NFL game, gets time in. He actually records a couple of different tackles. Von Miller looks really good, guys. Mm-hmm. Von Miller, he was getting pressure all night. He wound up getting that sack. I'll just say, I think that Christian Benford may be the most not acknowledged great, great cornerback in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
He just does his job every week.
I wanted to ask you about him, Sal, because I think that is still probably true. I think I wonder if his number does that a little bit, where
47.
If you're 47, where like if you're just a casual NFL fan,
change
you see a
number.
47, right? You might not think that guy is like a star.
Let's get you in the 20s.
Yeah,
you know?
And you see like sixth round pick also, right? Like it can sometimes take years to escape that status. I think it's starting to flip around a little bit, but it's not all the way yet. But I feel like Sal. Some in the league, Dan Orlovsky was talking about this on the broadcast last night. There are those on Twitter, too, that it maybe is just starting for Benford, that he's starting to get some recognition as maybe like a number one corner in the league. I mean, some of his pass deflection numbers and separation prevented, whatever it is, you just watch him on the field. He's making plays on the ball. I'm more and more thinking about him as like, this might be just a number one corner in the league and six round pick, the number, whatever, like that all's extra.
Yeah, speaking of the pod we did last night, it's a good point you just brought up because Matt asked me, is he the Bills' number one corner? And I don't even know if I can answer that yes, because Rasul Douglas is really good. And if the Bills had to have a guy shadow somebody, would it be Benford? Would it be Douglas? It could be either of them. I just think they have both two very, very, very good boundary corners right now. And they're both playing at a really high level. So I think it's probably not fair to even Rasul Douglas to say that about Christian Benford, but you're right, Joe. I mean, you could count them as that. They're both just playing so well right now, and it really is kind of the perfect combination of how they want to play defense on the back end to keep everything in front, but two corners who just don't allow you much when you want to, you know, get with that underneath or that intermediate stuff. And then you sprinkle in a Jamarcus Ingram. You know, Jamarcus, he's a boundary corner. Here he is getting thrown into a dime safety role. And I mean, this is scary to think about. I asked him after the game in the locker room. I said, "What's the transition like been like for you? You had to kind of get thrown into that role. It's been new for you." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm still learning it. Really, like every week it's something new." And I'm thinking, "Geez, he's playing it at such a great level, and he's still learning it." It just goes to show you the preparation that goes into that. Even a guy like Brandon Codrington, who just this kid's electric. The New York Jets are going to regret trading this kid to the Buffalo Bills. Now, I get that the Jets have Gibson, who's a very good returner, so I understand that part of it. But my gosh, this kid. He takes the ball. He is electric. And then he gets in on defense and makes a couple of plays too, right? So right now, it's just everybody. Talk about everybody eats on offense. Everybody's eating on defense too right now, guys.
Quickly, before we get to call sale, because we've done offense, defense, and special teams a little bit here. McDermott was the one who he talked about Coleman after and why he didn't really play in the first quarter or even in the second quarter.
Yeah. Well, he played in the second quarter. I think his like early on in the second quarter is when he got his touchdown or midway, yeah. But one of those drives. So first quarter, he sat for the entire first quarter because he was not on time for something. We don't exactly know what that was. McDermott did not want to get into those details. Okay. But Sean said, hey, Keon handled it very well. And, you know, they had a good conversation about it or, you know, whatever. I'm paraphrasing what he said exactly. But he said he was impressed with the way Keon handled it and responded, and they move forward, and that's that.
Okay. All right. Let's get a couple calls in before the break. Chris in Lancaster. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Great Buffalo win last night. Very impressed. Actually thought it might be a close game. I was very wrong. One thing I want to get off my chest right away is the way Sean McDermott, he's changed in not only the way he manages a game, but his personality has come out a little bit. I think one of the things that Josh Allen was he got lucky being drafted by the Buffalo Bills because of the other three quarterbacks that were up for discussion. Baker, Rosen, and Lamar went later.
Darnold.
And Darnold, thank you. Well, those three, Darnold and Rosen went to two terrible organizations at a really bad time. And the Bills were, starting over. Sean came in and said, we're going to be a family. This team is a family now. You could see, offensive guys intermixing with defensive guys, giving fist bumps. Whereas, Baker and Rosen were chosen by teams that were just, in misery. And yeah. A lot can change, that changed Josh's life by being drafted by the Bills. They had just come off a playoff spot. I was a Tyrod fan, but thank God we drafted Josh Allen because he's the best damn player in the league right now.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, situation matters. And, I mean, what the Bills have done is a masterclass in picking the right guy and bringing him along the right way and giving him room to make mistakes along the way. I think that's an undersold part of it. Every time they put on the screen, Allen leads the league in turnovers since he came in, the Bills have given him the freedom to make those mistakes. And he has, this year he's off to a great start in that department. And I say that as someone who's not even that worried about that kind of stuff.
So two things to this. The Bills under this regime, Brandon Bean running the front office, they've drafted traits, right? We know that, right? Think about all the guys with the traits they've drafted. It's the guys that are just freak athletes and Greg Rousseau and Spencer Brown and even Tommy Doyle. So like just these guys, like they love these traits. Not everybody, right? But they really like the traits. And that was Josh Allen. Josh Allen was the traits. They identified a guy. You know why? They want the ceiling. The Bills shot for the ceiling. They shot for the moon at the quarterback. They said, we're going to swing hard, and we're going to hit a home run, or we're going to strike out, but we're going to go down swinging, or we're going to have the best player in the league, or debatably, right? And that's what they have now. They have an MVP type of player. They have one of the best on the planet, and that's what they did. But of course, and I agree with the caller, and we've all said it. I used to say all the time, guys, if Josh Allen gets drafted by the Jets and Sam Darnold gets drafted by the Bills, Sam Darnold's probably a pretty good NFL player. Maybe he's doing now in Buffalo what he's doing now in Minnesota. And I think Josh does not become nearly the player he is now if he gets drafted by the Jets. Organization matters. Look at the debate that's going on about the Carolina Panthers right now and Bryce Young. You have all these different talking heads debating. Is it Bryce Young or is it the organization? Of course organization matters. The Bills' player development. Is there any doubt now? Can we just stop with, like, it makes me just cringe when people talk about Brandon Bean and draft picks. And dude, it's not just like, yeah, you're not going to hit on every pick. It's also about developing players. It's about getting them into your organization, into your building, into your system. And when you have the continuity of a front office and a head coach that they can draft for now and the future to develop, that's when you get guys like Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram and Christian Benford. And, oh, yeah, a Josh Allen that comes along the way where you could put him into an organization where they care about the development of the player and not just saying, okay, we got this guy and he's going to be pretty good. Go out there and play.
Yeah, it speaks to me, it speaks to a lot of things, Sal, but identity. They know, especially in defense, yeah. They don't change on defense. They know exactly the traits that will work for them, how things will go, and they continue to get results. Let's get the injury report. The Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal, how the Bills come out from an injury standpoint?
You know, guys, I think they were really good. There were only two things that I had on the sidelines last night, and one was Cam Lewis, who got checked after he was hit on the sidelines. I think the independent neurologist had him come into the tent because he's got the red hat, and then he went back in the game. So, you know, there wasn't even anything official, but I saw that happen. And then at the end of the game, Tylon Grable went in the tent. I did not get an official injury update on him. It was too late in the game. But that's just something to monitor. That's why, in case you're wondering, Spencer Brown was playing very late into the game. He was playing because Tylon Grable had come out of the game at right tackle after they put some substitutes in. Guys, other than that, I mean, I think the Bills came out pretty clean health-wise. And that's just such an added bonus to this win.
Quickly, Sal, did you notice several times Allen handing the ball off with the wrong hand on purpose? Like he would be handing the ball off with his right hand to his right side, and it would look awkward. I don't know if you noticed that, but I had not noticed that against the Dolphins, and I was wondering maybe if his hand bothered him, but I don't know if that even came up after the game or whatever.
We've been talking about this since he hurt his hand on the broadcast with Eric, and one thing he's been doing is handing off with two hands. I did not notice if he took his left hand off. If you're saying that, yeah. I did not see that, Joe, if that's the case. But he had been handing off with two hands going that way. And that's obviously, I think, to protect the left hand, to make sure there's nothing that happens that comes out of it. I mean, I didn't do this, but you could make a joke and say Josh Allen is out here literally beating teams with one hand. I mean, that's what he's doing, guys. He's beating teams with one hand, right? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And obviously it's bothering him in some capacity still, guys, because he's got the glove on it. He's got it taped up. Even before this, in the Miami game, when he would go to his right, he would hand off with two hands. Eric mentioned the two hands last night. I did not see him just take the left hand off at all, so we'll see. The other, by the way, injury update I do want to give you guys, two things I think we should note here. Number one, the Bills did not put Terrell Bernard on injured reserve. That's very important because that means they're optimistic, I would say, that he's going to miss less than the four required weeks to go on injured reserve. Number two, Matt Milano in the house last night on the sidelines standing with his team. He was with Terrell Bernard standing there next to each other all night, and that was great to see.
All right. Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Chris Brown, when we get back, the Buffalo Bills victory Tuesday. We are having a good time. What a time to be alive. Where'd you rather be than right here, right now? Like, they're doing it again. Like, we're in for another ride this season. They look incredible. Jeremy and Joe, happy Tuesday. Happy Victory Tuesday on WGR.
Back to pass. Blitz is coming. Gets away from it. No! He's wrapped up and sacked. Jamarcus Ingram on the corner blitz.